Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. There might still be melting snow on the roof of Miller Park, but there are a lot of baseball fans eager to get through March. Baseball spring training is underway, and there are some high hopes among the loyal Brewers rooters in town.
But how well-placed are those hopes? Lake Effect sports contributor Sean Ranft joins us to look ahead at what we might expect from the 2018 rendition of the Brewers. Hi, Sean. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So we are at the point of the baseball season where everybody has a chance to win the World Series except for the Miami Marlins.
Yes.
So let's talk about the Brewers, who a lot of people, I don't know if people are picking them as a World Series contender, but certainly on this very show, we talked about them as a divisional contender. They have really shored up in a lot of places going into this season. Let me start with an interesting question, and that is, why is Ryan Braun going to be spending time at first base this year?
Because they have too many outfielders that need at-bats, that deserve at-bats, and they can't split that up evenly right now unless they make a move. And I know fans have, you know, said, oh, Braun can just play first base for the last couple of years, but that never was really that feasible. He was an atrocious third baseman. Which it's not the same at all, but he was an atrocious corner infielder. Before.
And right, he only played that really his first year.
Yeah, his first season. He played it in college. He played it in his first season, and he was not good. And he will probably be serviceable at first base, but then you run into the other issue of, we just mentioned it with outfielders, they have two other first basemen that also deserve at-bats and got at-bats last year and were very productive.
Other first basemen who together had, what, something like 50 home runs?
Yes. Aguilar and Thames, which was a pretty solid platoon with the righty-lefty. And I know they want to do that with Braun and Thames, but what do you do with Aguilar now?
I think the Brewers perhaps are deep down hoping they'll be sent back to the American League and somebody can DH.
It's a good plan. I don't know if it'll work, but that seems to be what they would need at this point.
So you got Aguilar, you got Thames, you have Braun. Take us back to the outfield for a minute and remind us why things are so crowded there.
Okay, so they signed Lorenzo Cain, but about 30 minutes before that was announced, they traded for Christian Yelich from the Marlins, and that gave them six major league outfielders. They still have Brett Phillips, who I know he has an option year for the minors, but he should be playing every day. If that means, I guess, going back to AAA, then that might have to be what he does. But they also have Domingo Santana, who broke out offensively and statistically was their best offensive player last season. He's suddenly not guaranteed to start every day. That's kind of an issue. Keon Broxton has a lot of potential, base-stealing threat, power threat, very good defensively, but he's not a starter in this current lineup. So, and he also has an option year, but you don't want him in the minors either. It's just they have too many. It's a good thing to have depth, but they don't have enough at-bats to go around when you're looking at it right now.
Which raises the question, where are they at their most shallow?
I still think starting pitching. And some of that might be a little overblown, but Jimmy Nelson's coming back from a pretty serious surgery that the starting pitchers who have had it in the past don't really do well from once they come back. It's not like a Tommy John thing where you don't want them to have it, but that's like best case scenario these days for starting pitchers. And then after that, you have Chase Anderson, who broke out last year, hopefully more of the same. Zach Davies a little bit broke out last year. I mean, I know they won a lot for him when he was on the mound, but that wasn't because he was fantastic constantly. They scored a lot of runs for him, and he pitched well as the season went on.
That's an interesting question, you know, that I don't know that anybody's ever been able to satisfactorily answer. Why is it that some teams score more runs for some pitchers than others?
Yeah, I don't understand it. The first half of the year, I remember remarking that he was basically the 2017 version of Braden Looper, who was giving up a ton of home runs, but the Brewers were scoring six or seven runs for him each start, and he ended up winning like 16 or 17 games. That's not the exact number, but he won.
Right, a guy who wins 15 games, but his ERA is 4.8.
Exactly. Yeah. And for the first half, that's what Davies was, and then he got a lot better in the second half. If he keeps pitching that way, that's fantastic, but you still only have Chase Anderson and Davies at the top. You don't know what you're going to get from Junior Guerra. He had a really rough second season last year. He seems to be healthy this year, and he's looking sharp so far. But otherwise, Chacin, you hope that free agent signing. You hope the ground balls come into play because you don't want to be giving up home runs in Miller Park. It's a hitter's park, and he's a ground ball pitcher, so hopefully that'll work out. But it's a lot of middle to back end of the rotation pitchers that they have right now.
Right.
You don't know what step Woodruff is going to take. I know they have prospects still in the minors, but you would like one more big name. And there are names available. There's Alex Cobb, there's Lance Lynn, there's Jake Arrieta still. So they could make a move, or they could also trade one or two of their outfielders if they are willing to do that, which last time on the show, I assumed they would, and then nothing happened. So that's where we are now.
And middle infield?
Middle infield, they seem pretty well set. VR, hopefully VR bounces back. RC is their shortstop. That's not going to change. I don't think they're going to go after Neil Walker and re-sign him, even though he was a nice offensive presence at the end of last season. Hernán Pérez will play a bunch. I mean, they have so many position players, which is not a bad thing. That's never a bad thing. But they should be. They seem to be short. They have shored up their outfield. They have enough platoons for first base and the outfield. They have maybe too many, I guess. But Travis Shaw is at third base. They have all their other infielders can play third base pretty much.
It seems like we're in a situation in Milwaukee where they really do have a surplus of position players such that if the time and the place and the other team was right, they might be able to bring another pitcher over.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure, GM David Stearns is actively talking with teams. I'm sure they're not just sitting on their hands and, oh, well, we're stuck with
beautiful
all these
day in
players.
Maryvale.
Yep.
And, yeah.
Just going to stick with all these position players. But if they don't feel the price is right, then I get it. I know a few weeks ago, the Rays were really reluctant to let Chris Archer go, but then they got rid of everybody else within the span of a week and a half, and mostly for cutting salary reasons. They designated an all-star, a 2017 all-star for assignment. They traded Oda Rizzi to the Twins for, like, their fifth-best shortstop prospect, not their fifth-best prospect. So, I mean, the Brewers could have done something like that. It would have cost them nothing, but they apparently didn't feel Oda Rizzi would have helped, which is fine. They're smarter than I am. They know what they're doing. But, yeah, hopefully it's a little less cluttered by the time the regular season starts. And again, right now, today, we've got lots of time between now and opening day.
All right. So let's touch briefly on the Bucks for a minute here, because the Bucks, speaking of promising teams, are a promising team. And every time you think they've got it together, they go on a run where they lose two or three games in a row by two or three points.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some questions about, what this team can really accomplish and what it needs to take them beyond the point where they get within a sniff of fourth place and suddenly they're back in seventh place.
Yeah, because the East is really cluttered from even third to eighth. Right. There's like three games separating everybody. It's maddening. They're inconsistent, and I feel like the last few years, or even longer than that, you see these flashes where they win games that maybe they shouldn't. They beat the Toronto Raptors in Toronto after the All-Star break by a point, and then they come home and blow an 18-point lead in the second half. And then on national television a couple nights later, they're down by 22 points in the first quarter. They battle back to lose by two or three, but that doesn't matter really. And then they come out and lose by almost 30. This was the last; those were their last four games.
Right.
They beat the best team in the East and then fell flat on their faces a couple of times. And I don't know what they need to do, because I feel like a lot of Milwaukee fans have been watching the same sort of team for the last decade or so. The only difference being is that they have a bona fide superstar in Giannis, and I don't know what the next step is. They have been.
They certainly seem like they have the supporting cast as well. Middleton, and you've got Jabari Parker, and you've got Eric Bledsoe.
Bledsoe's been a solid offensive boost. He makes a lot of silly mistakes, and I think Malcolm Brogdon wouldn't make those mistakes, but he's out
injured
right
now,
so that's a problem. they never seem to have everyone healthy at the exact same time, which every basketball team or sports team in general can say that.
The issue with having guys whose legs are 6 feet long, right?
Yeah. So there's that. But it's just you see these flashes, and they've played a lot of bad teams since they fired Jason Kidd. They have beaten all of those bad teams, though, and they weren't beating those bad teams consistently before. But they all five of their losses, I'm pretty sure, since they fired him, have been against playoff teams. And you have to start winning some of those games. But they either start too slow or they can't finish the game. They never have a complete game, it seems like, which is kind of an issue, obviously, at this level. And now they're almost in the eighth seed now. It's been a rough week and a half for them. The offense is there. They have offense. That's not a problem. Their defense is better since they fired Jason Kidd, but it could almost not get any worse from the time he was there. So I don't know. Maybe they're just this team. Maybe they need someone else to take them to that next level. Maybe they just need to wait until the end of the season and find someone who is able to get the best out of all these guys at the same time. I don't know. They have a lot of money tied up in big men, and none of them are particularly good. Henson's very solid defensively. He's also injured a lot. Thon Maker, while he's very young and he's very raw still, he has definitely taken a step back from last season, and that's not great.
Right. We see John Henson with a lot more playing time than Thon Maker these days.
And last season, by the end of the season, Thon Maker was getting a lot more minutes. So you hope it's just a rough slump and he can snap out of it. But it just seems like there's flashes. There's talent. It's all right there. But they just can't put it together for a long enough stretch for it to matter.
It's, you know, this is why these are human beings that are playing
right.
The game. And as fans, sometimes it's difficult to reconcile the idea that we have guys that if we are playing, you know, Strat-O-Matic basketball or Strat-O-Matic baseball or
yes.
whatever, they should win, you know, 9 times out of 10. But when you have actual human beings who have to make decisions every second of the game, stuff is going to happen.
Yeah, that's why they play. It's not just played on paper. And, you know, you look at games, too, before a kid was gone. It's like, oh, how did they lose to the Bulls, who at the time— they were the worst team in the East. They got off to such a bad start. It's like, well, it happens. It's frustrating, but it happens. At least their losses lately have been against better teams, but it's just been the manner of which they've been losing that's frustrating now.
Right, right.
So,
you know, I want to ask you just a quick question about what kind of fan you consider yourself.
Okay.
You know, when you sit down and watch your team, and I don't know what your team, you know, if there's one single team you identify yourself with, what would it be?
I would say it would be the Brewers. It's baseball. But a very close second and maybe pushing into first would be Tottenham Hotspur in the English Premier League. I get very riled up during soccer matches now. To the point where when it comes to other sports, like, for instance, like Packers football, that takes a back seat. I don't get as animated. And even with the Brewers, I don't get as animated. My wife would disagree with that, especially this past season down the stretch. I took myself off of Twitter, off of social media, because that last stretch of games was just too much to be online for. So it's still the Brewers right now, but Tottenham's close.
So you watch a Tottenham game and Tottenham ends up beating Newcastle or something. And what do you think? What does it do to your psyche?
It makes me feel really good the rest of the day. A couple of days, you know. I'm to the point now where I try not to let wins and losses affect the way I go about my life. I'm a little too old for that now. It's not a great feeling and I'm pretty sure the last time that I really let an event or an outcome ruin my day for a few days was the Packers-Seahawks NFC Championship game. That was just brutal. There's no other word for it. It was a rough, rough way to lose. And the last couple of days, I like canceled plans the next day. I didn't want to be around anybody for a couple of days. But that hasn't happened since. And I think that might have been my my little wake-up call where it's sports. It's I get into it, and with Tottenham, I still get into it, and the Brewers, I still get into it, but I can't let it affect how I live my life after that. Not anymore. Not anymore.
Sean Ramp, thanks.
Thanks so much, Mitch.
Sean Ramp is managing editor of the Sports Post website and our regular sports contributor.